It's Dave O and Killian White's KC Press Box, powered by FanDuel. The KC Press Box, where you get the sports headlines that you care about. Plus, learn to make cold, hard cash with the Sportsbook 101 that teaches you every aspect of sports investing. The lineup is ready. The players are set. And now, let's head to the KC Press Box with your hosts, Dave O and Killian White.
Oh, man. This is the time where we really start making money here on the KC Press Box. It is Wild Card Weekend 2023. You got Dave O and my boy.
Sharpshooting, Killian White.
Sharpshooting. Come on. There you go. That's the way you do that, too, there. How are you, brother, man? You ready for Wild Card Weekend?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. It's a smaller slate, but we get to watch all the games fully, so that's fun. No Chiefs this weekend, but...
No Chiefs, but we got a nice six-game slate. Now, are you team Monday Night Football and one less game on Saturday, or team three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday like it used to be on Wild Card Weekend?
It is nice to have the full days. As long as it's one game at a time, I'll probably take the Saturday, Sunday, but, you know, an extra day of football, nothing to complain about.
I guess that's true. I just, man, it's just amazing having three games on Saturday and three on Sunday. But either way, you know, Sunday will be amazing too, as will Saturday. There's some good matchups. We're going to go through all of them here, as we always do on the KC Press Box. We'll give you against the spread predictions for each of the six playoff games. We will go in depth through all of them. So hopefully you will, as you're driving right now, or maybe you're working out, or maybe you're just laying around at home, no matter what you're doing or when you're listening, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button, telling a friend here, anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, we are on TikTok doing videos, our lock of the week every single week. We'll have another lock of the week. Killian, we hit it again last week.
We sure did.
42 wins, 21 losses now on the lock of the week. That's 66.7%, rounded up at 67%. Try finding somebody else over 63 that's hitting at 67%. You won't find many out there doing that. So we are proud of that. We're hoping you're rolling with us and making some cash all football season long. I've got a game I love today, by the way.
Looking forward to
it. Do you have a lock of the week in your own mind?
Yeah, I actually got one ready this week. You always ask me, and I'm not ready. I'm ready this week.
Okay, we'll see if we're on the same game a bit later. But yeah, well, before we get into week 18. Before we get into the wild card weekend, how was your week, man, this past week?
It was a pretty good week. Did pretty well in betting. Won a couple, like I said, I didn't have a great week as far as like spreads and stuff, but I hit a couple long shot touchdowns that kind of saved me. Shout out Chigozie Mokonkwo. Shout out Velus Jones.
Yes, there you go. You're making money that way. That's what it's all about here. We teach you how to sports invest, is what we call it here. You make some solid 50-50 bets. You take some long shot bets. You taper things when you're on a winning streak or losing streak. We try to teach you all that here with Sportsbook 101 lessons, and money management's a big part of it. So I'm glad to hear you still came out on top. I had a massive week last week just because it was a teaser week and a moneyline parlay week, and there were all these 70-75% chance of winning teams straight up, and pretty much all of them hit for me.
Yeah.
I had one bad beat. In fact, let's just get right into the bad beats, and I'm still pissed about it. What the hell? I thought the Texans were supposed to be the team throwing games to get that number one pick. What were the Colts doing? I had the Colts -2.5. On that last drive, Killian, they had a 4th and 15, I believe it was, and a 4th and 20 on the last drive. A 4th and 15 and a 4th and 20. They were up by 7. They gave up a 4th and 15 to freaking Davis Mills. Then they gave up a 4th and 20 Hail Mary touchdown where there was 4 Colts guys around 1 Texans receiver.
And it went through one of their hands.
Yeah, Jordan Akins right to him there. And then, of course, they went for 2 like they always do. Mm-hmm. And so I lost that -2.5. What were they doing? I mean, 4th and 15, 4th and 20 on the same drive. How often does that happen? Never.
I guess you just forgot to factor in the Lovie Smith spite win.
Yeah, exactly. They fire him afterwards. They're like, screw you, buddy.
I saw some tweets like, can you imagine what his headset was sounded like during that fourth quarter?
Yeah, right. Well, also, I mean, the Colts earlier in the game got inside the red zone twice and turned it over, and Ellinger gave up a pick six. So it was just a pretty pathetic effort there by the Colts.
It's like there's a turnover disease in that QB room.
Yeah, honestly. No kidding. Yeah, Ryan.
None of them can hold on to the ball.
Ryan and Foles. Do you think any of those three guys are back? Ellinger, I guess, could be as maybe a third stringer. Do you think any of those three guys are back there next year in Indy?
Yeah, I think Ellinger's probably back, but I don't think he's their starter.
Does
he have one more year?
He still does. Yeah. But I mean, like rookie contract. Yeah. But I mean, like the quarterback musical chairs we were talking about with, you know, Lamar and Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo, and you know, you go through the NFL. Geno Smith's a free agent. You go through
Did
the NFL.
Did you see the Jets' latest headline or whatever it was?
What, Zach Wilson starting next year? Or what?
No, I want to quote it right. One second. It says the Jets are, quote, absolutely willing to spend big on a QB this offseason.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to stick with Zach Wilson. I thought that was posturing to try to trade him. You know, you saw 2 weeks ago Robert
Saleh. For 1 week, and it didn't work, and they're like, all right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, if they were so into it, why'd they go to Flacco last week? You know, we could kind of see that. So, but yeah, there'll be quarterback musical chairs all throughout the NFL. I've never remember an offseason where there's legitimately 9 or 10 potential starting quarterback openings, and 9 or 10 guys. I mean, you know, Mayfield, and what do they do with Stafford? And you just go through the league; it's all over the place.
Right.
So basically, you name a team, and there's a good chance. You know, Bridgewater is a free agent. There's just like unlimited guys. Did you have a bad beat last week or not really?
Yeah, speaking of the Jets, that was mine. Horrible beat. Mm. Last play of the game. There was that, you know.
+3.5?
Yep, had the Jets +3.5.
You knew it was going to happen,
too. They were down two. And once I started seeing that play that, you know, they're down, they're trying to win, they're lateraling the ball. And they, of course, lateral it back in.
Into the
end zone. One, and it gets recovered for a safety. The thing is, the ref signals for the safety. The game shows as a 2-point game. They don't count the safety. It changes to a different game. And I was like, okay, I guess they're not going to count that.
Oh.
And then I get in my sports book, and of course,
money's not in there.
Yeah, so so that was a horrible beat.
But I was like, that was going to happen.
I was like, maybe they won't count the safety. Maybe it wasn't a safety. No, it was a safety.
Yeah, once they start doing that crap, remember I lost in like week two in fantasy on Najee doing that crap because he had like -3.
I came in here yesterday and I showed you a tweet and it was like, any of these bad beats affect you this season?
The four biggest,
and it was the four biggest, and three of the four. That was one of them was the Najee one. One of them was the Jets one I just talked about,
and the Raiders that we had.
And then
when Baker Mayfield. Have been with the team for 36 hours.
Baker Mayfield's on that last game winning drive, and then the fourth one was Saquon going down like the two, which I don't think I had that
one. I'm kind of surprised the Colts didn't make that, but I feel like I'm the only person to bet on the Colts this
weekend. I think that's why it just wasn't so widely held as a bet.
And I shouldn't have probably bet on that game. That's the one game that had nothing to play for that I did bet on because I figured the Texans would tank it. Like I just figured the Colts playing at home. Saturday really wants the job by all accounts. He'd lost 6 in a row. I just felt that was a good under 3 a game and they should have probably won it. I mean, they were turning it over left and right inside the 20. They were up 7 with a minute left and they couldn't get off the field 4th and 15, 4th and 20. Doesn't matter, they didn't cover it. I lost the bet. It was, you know, probably not the smartest thing I've ever done to bet on a game. It doesn't mean anything, but I had my reasons for feeling that one was a good one. But that was the only game I lost until Monday. I think I was 6-2 on NFL bets. I did lose the Packers. But I took them. I should have just taken the Lions +5.5. But I really just thought that once the Seahawks, once the Lions were eliminated from the playoffs, I kind of figured they would just kind of. I didn't think they would pack it in necessarily because Dan Campbell just seems like a motivated, hey, screw these are our rivals. We're on national TV. Let's go out with a bang. We've had a great year. I didn't think they'd necessarily just pack it in, but I thought for sure the Packers could at least win on the money line. So I had Packers money line with Aaron Jones over 40 rushing yards, and the rushing yards hit, of course, but the Packers decided to, you know, have players start pushing the training staff. And when they had 2nd and goal from the 10 and give them 1st and goal at the 5, you know, when they were up 3 points at that point still, and that kind of, to me, was the most underrated turning point in that game. What was that guy doing, by the way?
Oh, the push?
Yeah, that's the second time he's done it this year. Like, what is wrong with these people?
It's like, I mean, I kind of get what he was saying. Like, he was just in the moment and amped up playing football, and someone kind of, like, nudges him, but, like, calm down, dude.
You can't push the guy.
Yeah.
You saw that he wasn't a player when you turned around.
Also, it's in between plays anyway. Don't push the guy.
Just
take the. If it was another player from another team, take the penalty and move on.
So dumb. Yeah. So
I had a
dumb
coach in high school that used to tell us, anybody shoves you, you fall to the ground.
Yeah, a little acting,
in between
right?
plays, that is.
Going to the drama department, find some players there. Yeah. But okay, well, main three takeaways. Let's go ahead and wrap up the final week of the NFL season, and then we'll get to the good stuff, wild card weekend. You want me to start on the three main takeaways, or do you want to go?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. My three main ones, I kind of like to just do quarterbacks the last couple of weeks.
That's what mine have been a lot, too.
Yeah. Number one, Trevor Lawrence looked like he was not ready for the moment last week. Mm-hmm. Now, do we think he'll be ready this week? We're going to preview that in a little bit. That'll be the primetime game on Saturday. Jacksonville will take it on the Chargers. But in this game against the Titans, we saw him just miss throws. I mean, we saw him first botch a reverse, you know, flip over. And I think it was Zay Jones. Is that how that was in that play? Would have literally been a touchdown if he handed the ball off to him. Mm-hmm. And did this no look you know, horrible pitch that was a turnover when they were driving down there. That cost him seven, or at least three, but probably seven. He had one man to beat, probably would have been a touchdown there. We saw him miss a wide open Christian Kirk, wide open.
Right, yeah.
Like the easiest throw you'll see in the NFL. We saw him a couple of times on third down have guys over the middle that were just standing with their hands up, waiting for the ball. Nobody within 5 yards didn't hit him. So Trevor Lawrence, to me, just did not look ready for the moment. It was kind of his first, well, it was his first as an NFL player standalone primetime game. Mm-hmm. You know, Jacksonville, of course, doesn't get on Sunday Night Football. I don't really count. I don't know if he's played. He might have played on Thursday night before, but I don't count that. Like, this is his first, and it, where it means a lot, and the whole country's watching you. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, you know, a Saturday night. So it was disappointing to see that. I thought he kind of melted down. That doesn't change the fact that you and I both think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL going forward. But I just wanted to note that right there, that the moment looked too big for him. And we'll talk about what we think about for this week here in a little bit. Second thing, Aaron Rodgers. I think he's definitely played his last snap with the Green Bay Packers. I think that's, I know we've thought that, or at least been discussing and debating that the last couple of years. But I think just the symbolic walking off with Cobb that was planned and deciding to keep his jersey, telling him, no, I'm gonna keep this one.
Yeah.
You know, and just putting all the stuff together. Jordan Love's probably ready. It's now or never for Jordan Love. You know, you've drafted him. It's, you know. So I think Aaron Rodgers, another quarterback in the quarterback musical chairs that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Probably going to be either retiring or being traded or whatever happens this offseason. And then Kenny Pickett, not putting up huge numbers, but I just kind of wanted to put in a plug for him. I thought that the Steelers finished the season quietly on a huge run. They played really well. Najee looked good too, by the way, the last 6-7 weeks of the season. So Kenny Pickett, though, I think the Pickett to Pickens will be dangerous, as we discussed before the season.
Those two guys were both in like the top three for rookie of the year.
Well, coming in especially.
Start, at least.
Pickett, you know, didn't end up because he didn't start till week six, maybe. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so. And then Pickens kind of picked up along with
him. Yeah, exactly. But. Yeah, so Pickett just wasn't getting the targets. He, you know, he's a big play guy, so he, you know, he's not going to get the ROI. But yeah, but those are kind of my three. I think Pickett will be really good going forward. Could be a guy potentially who's a fringe top 12, top 10 guy next year if everything goes his way. But we'll see. But those are my top three takeaways from last week. What are yours?
Yeah, I'll start with kind of the overlap. I mean, similar to what you said about Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he plays there again. I have here that the Green Bay offense will be basically unrecognizable by next year. I think
who they can have, Love and Aaron Jones.
Exactly. Like,
Dylan?
I mean, Lazard is leaving. We know that for a fact. We saw that video of him being like, I'm not going to be here next year.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and I don't see any way Aaron Rodgers plays there. Maybe not at all. I can see him retiring.
You think
for
he's
sure.
done?
Yeah, he seems to have an air for the dramatic, you know? So. But,
is he one of those guys that's going to retire and come back?
But yes, what's more dramatic is, yeah, that's true.
I feel like he's going to retire and then come back. That just feels like an Aaron Rodgers thing to do.
But at least as far as we know, Brady only did that because of his wife. And
but I think Rodgers might take a whole year. I think Rodgers might take a whole year off, though, and then come back.
I could see that. Yeah, for a different team. But yeah, the second one I have, another quarterback one, is that Russell Wilson has quietly looked like himself the last few weeks.
Okay.
The last two or three
weeks. You're drinking the Kool-Aid over there.
No, I said no one will notice. No one will really care or remember unless it's next year. But I think it's a hopeful note for next year.
Fair.
I think that it's so strange. Did Nathaniel Hackett actually have something to do with his horrible quarterback play? It's hard to think so.
That's what I was about to say.
But maybe. And so, yeah, I think that.
Do you hear he's going back probably as OC in Green Bay, by the way?
Really?
With LaFleur, Hackett might go back there. Like, I mean,
wow. I mean, we see all the time people that are really good in these position roles and they can't be a head coach. I mean, Matt Nagy, for instance, is great quarterback coach. Didn't do much for the Bears, but you know, the Bears are having trouble.
Surely Nathaniel Hackett's never a head coach again in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I don't see it.
I mean, I think it was just such a debacle.
Yeah,
like it was so bad.
It's
like,
hard to get hired again when you get fired before your first year is over.
Yeah. Well, week one we knew it was toast. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. And then my last one is just that. Another team that's really picked it up, and I think the Steelers too, but the Lions, I think I'm still drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. I think they're going to be pretty good next year. I think that the receivers are getting on. They got healthy. Chark really helps out Amon-Ra St. Brown. They've got
fast is Jamison Williams?
Yeah.
No, they ever throw him the ball?
Yeah, no, he's looked. I mean, they've got a really good receiving core. Jared Goff is playing like a top 10 quarterback stats-wise these last month or two.
So what do they do, though, Killian? If you're the Lions, Do you, because this is a good year to trade up, and we'll see what the Bears decide to do at number one, because they have Fields. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if you, everyone says Bryce Young. I still think I'd take Bijan, but I guess I probably wouldn't. Maybe Bryce Young's the guy there, number one. But
yeah.
What do you do if you're the Lions? Do you try to take a quarterback, trade up, and get somebody? Because they could, you know. Or do you stick with Jared Goff? I mean, they've got a high draft pick, too.
Yes.
Or no, they don't. They give it away to the... No, they do. They have the Rams one. Never mind. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, it's a tough one because, I mean, if Jared Goff keeps playing like he did, at least the back half of the season, for a couple more years, it's not worth drafting a quarterback right now, probably. But
do we think it's real, though? And do we think you want to make him the
saying.
Franchise?
I don't know if it. Because, I mean, you see it in the NFL over and over, the managers, the GMs, all that stuff, they will definitely take, you know, the star power over a guy that's, you know, been playing well, that's been having good stats. Like
Jared Goff's kind
look,
of.
Look at Christian McCaffrey. They're just like, sorry, Jeff Wilson, get out of here.
Doesn't Jared. Yeah, I'm no kidding. And Mostert. Do you think, does Jared Goff kind of. I'm not saying he's this exact player, but does he kind of remind you of like Alex Smith, where he's just like a. He's not ever going to be that elite guy, but he's good. He's solid.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, but you kind of feel like you need a Mahomes, for example,
yeah.
Or whoever, be an Allen, a Burrow. Like, I don't see Jared Goff ever being able to.
Yeah, they do have the good, like, some really good skill players. I mean, the defense is still struggling, but they drafted Aiden Hutchinson the last year. Do they go and get another
probably
defensive guy?
Yeah,
with
that's
the first
true.
Pick?
That's a good point too. So maybe they don't go quarterback this year. I'm just saying they're close enough to number one where they could trade up probably, and we'll see what the Bears do with that pick since the Texans decided to. Get 4th and 20 and 4th and 15. Yeah. Really appreciate
that. I saw
that.
A bunch of tweets from Bears fans too, thanking Lovey for doing one last good deed for the Bears.
Yeah, no kidding. He should have ran some ridiculous 2-point conversion play to make sure they get it.
Yeah.
The number one pick.
Yeah.
Do a Flea flicker from the 1 yard line. Right?
Maybe,
go deep on the 1 yard
done.
Line.
Might be something special.
Yeah. Is that your last one or are you even?
Yeah,
one?
That's all three.
Okay, that's all three.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I like that. Chiefs, real quickly, do you have any thoughts on their game against the Raiders? I thought they looked impressive. By the way, a little stat for you. This defense, since coming out of the bye, is the 13th ranked DVOA defense in the NFL.
That's good news because I know we were near the bottom before that. But
it's turning into a league average defense,
yeah,
bro.
Good game for the Chiefs. I thought it was nice to see the way that we slowed down the Raiders and Jared Stidham after what we saw them do against the Niners the week before. We do seem to just own the Raiders. Our average margin of victory is insane, but of course I can never get it right. I thought that it was a good week to take the Raiders up to, what, plus 11 or whatever they were. Or no, it's more than that.
I like the Chiefs win. I'm with you. I love the Chiefs to win or on a teaser or a money line, but I thought the Raiders had a good chance of covering
they had
the
plus
number.
Nine, so we got enough to play the plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they
15,
sure did not come close to covering
yeah,
that.
So. But no, I think it's encouraging. I think the break's going to be good for us, but yeah.
Yeah, they're off till tomorrow. They're had a friend who saw Mahomes and Kelsey and some of the guys at the Grand Falloon the other night.
That, yeah.
So hopefully they got some nachos down there. They have delicious nachos at the Grand Falloon, for those who don't know, here in Kansas City. But they get back in the office tomorrow. They're back at it. The Chiefs are back in on Friday. We're recording this podcast on Thursday, January the 12th. All right, brother, man, you ready to do it? The 6-game wild card slate. Let's dig into these games one by one, starting with the Saturday early game, which, if I'm not mistaken, is it the Niners and Seahawks?
Yeah, the Niners and Seahawks at 3:30. The Niners are at home, -9.5, over under 42.5. And Dave and I agreed that we will be picking over unders this week, too, since the games play a little straighter, since we have less to talk about.
Yeah. Niners, 9.5 at home against the Seahawks. So how do you think, Killian, first of all, let me just ask you a question. How do you think Brock Purdy is going to perform in the playoffs? Have you seen enough of him at this point to think that, okay, what do you think he is going forward? Is he a starting NFL quarterback next year? Let's just start with there. Is that their guy next year?
I think it has to. That's so tough. I mean,
because they still
so
have Lance around.
Yeah, and I said he's been playing so well, but like we said, he is Mr. Irrelevant. They take star power, they take name over.
And how often does somebody that gets drafted that late turn out to be a really good NFL? And it happens.
Well,
I'm not saying
mean,
it doesn't happen.
The best example of an actual Mr. Irrelevant, besides that's like a kicker, right?
Yeah. Well, or if you want to get even worse than Mr. Irrelevant, an undrafted guy, Kurt Warner would be a great, yeah. Right? Historically, obviously.
Wasn't Adam Thielen undrafted too?
Yeah, I think he was.
So it happens, but yeah.
Quarterback's
a little bit different too.
How good do you? So I guess going forward, I think it's probably him and Lance competing for the job next year.
Yeah,
or Jimmy G goes somewhere else.
I'm with you on that.
But anyway, I guess my point in asking that is I'm trying to just figure out Brock Purdy, because is this guy for real?
Yeah.
Do we feel safe betting on him in the the playoffs. I mean, he's playing at home against the Seattle defense. We know they can't stop the run. Look, this would be a big game for McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell. McCaffrey still has a little bit of that high ankle issue that he seems to always have. Yeah. He'll play. He's going to get his 17 to 20 touches in this ball game. I think Elijah Mitchell is a sharp, sharp DFS play in a tournament. If you're playing a tournament and want to get different, and he's cheap, so I could definitely see Elijah Mitchell getting 12 to 14 mm-hmm. touches in this game. And we saw him score, I think, got in the box twice last week, actually. We saw him score last week, though.
And Mason got Mason got one too.
No, he got one. I think he got called back, and he got the next one after that. Not like when I had Fournette the week before, and Tom Brady decided when Fournette scored a touchdown, and they're like, no, he's actually down on the 6-inch mark, and Tom Brady's like, oh, well, then I'll take the touchdown, bastard. I had Leonard Fournette in DFS and lost by 5 points that week.
I didn't, but I know some people that had money on Khalif Raymond to score a touchdown, and that. Like, how was he not in on that play? I thought he was, but they marked him out the one. Anyway.
They're inconsistent with that. The Niners, we both agree, true or false, are going to win the game in the money line.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I feel very confident about them winning. It's the line.
So we know they're going to win the game. Like I was saying, I think the Niners can just run the ball all day against this team. I think their defense is just so good that this round, I don't think Brock Purdy matters that much. I'm kind of just asking you about Brock Purdy for the week after when, you know, could be quite the matchup the week after. You know, I think Brock Purdy is fine this week. I think the Niners were able to score enough to cover this number. It's never real comfortable betting on a, you know, almost 10-point favorite, especially in the NFL playoffs. In fact, we have another game later that's even higher than that. But I think I'm taking the Niners here. I just think they're able to run the ball. I don't think Purdy, I think he's fine. I don't think he's bad anyways. I think he's a fine quarterback. I just wonder when it gets later in the playoffs, do we trust him to bet on him? This week, I think it's fine. Other side of the ball here, I just don't see how Seattle is able to do anything. They'll be able to run a little bit against the Niners. If there's one thing the Niners can, not be exploited, that's a strong word, but you can kind of at least run the ball against them at times. So Kenneth Walker will get fed. We know Pete Carroll loves to run the football. DK Metcalf apparently is in witness protection after the last 2 weeks. I mean, if he can't do anything the last 2 weeks against those defenses, I don't know how you expect him to do anything against the best defense in the NFL. Lockett's fine as the slot guy, but Geno Smith, we're seeing him turn the ball over now all of a sudden. We're seeing him miss throws. He's the comeback player of the year, I'm sure, but it seems like Cinderella's slipper is kind of coming off a little bit from what we saw the first half of the year for both him and the Seahawks, who probably shouldn't even really be in the playoffs realistically. So give me the 9.5. Give me the Niners in this game.
Yeah, I'll go with you. Like I said, I don't think there's any way they lose on the money line, but I'll take them on the 9.5, too. I think they do just run all over this team, and they don't really even need to pass that much. We've seen them beat teams by huge margins a lot, and I know that last week wasn't one of those, but to your point...
It was at the end. They pulled away at the end. Yeah.
Well, to your point, though, I mean, the Seahawks, at the beginning of the season, they were one of those teams we were talking about in, like, the bottom five and stuff, and I know that they've been really good, especially at the beginning of the season, but they have kind of come back down to earth, and, just the defense for the 49ers, I'm going to have to go with them on the points, too.
And you said this one's 41.5?
It's 42.
42 in this game. I think the Niners have a 27-point floor. That's a floor in this game. I think you can give Seattle probably 10. So that's the floor for the Niners. I'll go the over in this game. I think the Niners probably hit 30 in this game. I'd rather take the Niners of the two bets, but I would go over in this particular game if you're going to bet a side, just because I think the Seahawks will get some garbage. And like you nailed it there, Kelly, and we did have them as a bottom five team coming into the league. We knew this defense would not be able to stop the run, but we didn't account for Geno Smith getting off to that world beater start. And right. I mean, really, we joked about it, but for a minute there, like week 7, 8, 9, right around there, he was being talked about as a potential MVP candidate. Remember those? Mm-hmm. And we kind of mocked it. We knew that wasn't going to happen, but that just illustrates how good he was.
His stats were there at the time, to be fair, though.
Yeah.
We knew they probably wouldn't stay in, you're right. But
we knew, but that's just saying at the time how good he was first 7, 8, you know, games of the year. But yeah, I don't see how against this 49ers defense they're able to do much. So, you know, Kenneth Walker is going to get like 22 carries for like 65, 70. He'll get like 3 yards a carry, which is not good. Yeah. But he'll have a couple plays where he, you know, you can run a little bit against this team. And 3 yards a carry is awful. I'm not saying that's good. But I'm illustrating they will try to run the ball. He will at times have a couple of big plays, but then they'll just go ahead and shut him down the rest of the time. It's a defense that's just the best in the NFL. Good luck trying to pass on him. They will take out DK Metcalf in this game. If he's been taken out the last 2 weeks against these Blues. How is he not getting catches, by the way? Like, what is his deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
He should be so much better than he is.
Yeah, I don't know. He's had bursts. You see it every once in a while.
This is big physical guy. And he's got great hands and he runs great routes, but he just.
But do you think some of that's Geno? Like,
or some of it, yeah. Some of it.
Because, I mean, he was looking best when Geno was looking best, and obviously that.
And the two picks last week by Geno were both targets to DK that were just. Yeah. Like, one of them was like literally like 9 or 10 feet behind him. It was just an awful throw. But
yeah,
I like this game this for the Niners. This is probably actually the game I'm looking forward to least the whole weekend to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of glad it's the first one of the weekend. Get it out of the way and then we get to the fun. Let's get to that primetime game. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this next game.
Well, real quick, I was going to say, I think that I'm probably going to go under here.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm kind of iffy on it, but I don't know. In my head, I see like a 24-10 kind of game.
So, I don't hate it.
Quite a bit of defense by the Niners.
But we both think the Niners are the better play.
Oh, yeah. And we both agree on the 9.5. I think that they're going to get there by holding the Seahawks to very few points, and you think they're going to get there more by just scoring a bunch. But
I just think they'll get some short fields.
Yeah. I can see that.
From turnovers. Sure. You know, I think Geno's good for probably 2 turnovers in this game.
Yeah. Might be worth sprinkling on the 49ers anytime touchdown then. The defensive, that is. Yeah.
I'm
sure they will score a touchdown in general.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Really going out on a limb there, Killian.
-10,000. I mean, it doesn't hit every game, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, we've got a game that I think you are more excited for. We've got the Jaguars +2.5 at home against the Chargers, mostly healthy, over under 47.5.
So as of Thursday afternoon, we believe Mike Williams will give it a go. We don't think he's going to be anywhere close to 100%. And let's talk about how stupid Brandon Staley was for playing his starters, not for a quarter, not for 2 quarters. He played them 3.5 quarters last week.
We saw that line and we were like, Justin Herbert's not playing. We said that all week on the podcast, so they're not going to play this week.
Yes, which actually is kind of embarrassing that they just got a push on that.
Yeah.
Considering they played the starters for 3.5 quarters against the Broncos. But what was he? Mike Williams was like him carted off, and he still doubled down and let the starters in for another quarter and a half after that. Like, what was he doing?
Yeah,
he's getting fired, isn't he, if they don't win this game?
Yeah, I could see it for sure. Is this his second or third year?
I think it's his third. Let me look it up. Brandon Staley right now. But I just don't see why you would do that last week. But anyway, besides that, Brandon Staley is in his, I guess that's only his second year. No, wait a minute. Third year. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the Chargers, their defense has been really bad all year, and I think we gave them a little bit of credit that kind of lasted a few weeks for what they did.
They got better for a
while.
Against
the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But that was also Tua playing an awful game. I don't know what happened to him that game. He's been pretty good this season. But the Chargers defense is looking rough. I don't know how it kind of shows where I'm going with this, but I don't know how the Chargers are -2.5 on the road.
Yeah, so we talked earlier about Trevor Lawrence, or I did at least, on one of my takeaways, that he wasn't ready for prime time last week. And I think you'd agree with that. He was not playing well. I mean, it was just, we know how good he is. We've seen him play well. We know he's a good quarterback. He's not in that elite tier or even that second tier, but he's solidly in the upper end of that third tier of quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, out of the 5 tiers that I have him, you know, in my system, he's a firmly above average NFL quarterback. And the weapons that they have, right? I mean, you nailed it right there. The Chargers defense has been playing better. We know earlier in the year, another team that was kind of the Seahawks junior, you could run against them. It's gotten better. Their defense has been better. Bosa's back. I mean, he got banged up in that Broncos game, but I'm sure he's going to be good to go. It's the playoffs. All these guys are going to play, but who knows how good they're going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, Derwin James, I believe, is still out for the Chargers, so that's a big loss at the back of their defense there. The defense for the Chargers and Jaguars, honestly, though, is probably a wash. They're about the same. Jacksonville, we thought, was going to have a good defense this year, and they did the first few weeks, and they got really bad, and they've been a little bit better. Mm-hmm. They've been better the last few weeks. One thing I'll say about this game, it's a close game. Is this the game, do you think, that's the most nail-biting slash you're not sure about on the entire slate? If you had to pick one game that you're least sure about, would it be this game?
Probably. I'm looking at the other ones with similar lines, and yeah, I would say it's this
one. So this is one thing I'll say the couple of things I'll say in this game that make me like Jacksonville, because I do like Jacksonville on the +2.5, and I'll tell you why. Number one, I think Trevor Lawrence has got that out of his system. The primetime standalone game, the win, and you know, have to win. It's a must. He's never had a must. First of all, he's never had a Saturday or Sunday night game, or you know, Monday night, whatever, where it's only thing on. He's never had a game where he had to win to get in. It's the biggest game of his career since college, and you know, when he was playing for championships. But he got that out of the way. I think he's going to come back exact same time slot exact same kickoff time a week later, the Saturday night game, they're playing at home. I think he's able to come back out, relax. The game slows down for him a bit. I think he's better this time around. So first of all, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to play a good game this week. And the other thing that it makes me like Jacksonville, the home crowd, of course, but the other thing that makes me like Jacksonville is this on defense, I think they have a lot of speed, especially at the linebacker position, and I think they're going to be able to at least, I don't want to say shut down Austin Ekeler, but I think they'll be able to kind of slow him down in that screen game and the dump-off game where he excels. I mean, you and I were talking before the podcast that he is, as far as the passing game goes, he's the closest thing in the NFL to Christian McCaffrey. He's McCaffrey Jr., probably even better than McCaffrey Jr. I don't think he's that far behind McCaffrey as a receiving back. So that's Ekeler is their big weapon, because I'm assuming that Mike Williams is not going to be close to 100%. I'm pretty sure he's going to play in this game. We don't think he practiced yesterday. He was not there in the parts of practice open to the media. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting here on Thursday. The game's on Saturday. So if he doesn't practice today, you know, which is Thursday, we don't know that yet. But if he doesn't go today, he's looking iffy for this game. But I'm sure he's going to play in the playoffs. So I don't think he'll be 100%. I think that really, really, really helps the Jaguars. I think if Mike Williams is 100% and Brandon Staley wasn't stupid last week, you know, I might have a little bit of a different take on this game. And but just the fact of how Trevor Lawrence played last week versus the quarterback I know he is and the quarterback he can be, I'm going to take Jacksonville, and I'm going to take the 2.5 here. Normally, I would say take the money line if it was like 1.5 or something. But in this particular game, I think it's so close that the 2.5 points actually could come in your favor. So I would go ahead and take the 2.5 points rather than take Jacksonville on the money line. I don't see this game getting to 3. If it gets to 3, I love it. Yeah. I already like it at the 2.5. What's the over-under in this game?
47.5. And you're probably right. It looks like the juice is pretty even at 2.
47.5, I'd probably go under in this game, but it's going to be close. But I'd probably go under in this game just because I think this is a game like 24-21 type game, 24-17. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, no, I can see it. I like the under, and I'm with you on both here. Like I said, Jacksonville, I like that one a lot. But the over under, Lesher, we don't, you know, talk about that as much.
What makes you like Jacks that much? Just what I just said, basically, or?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a coaching advantage. They're at home.
They do have a coaching advantage. That's a good point. I mentioned that. Yeah, Doug is definitely over him, over our boy, yeah, Brandon Staley.
And, yeah, like you said, no Michael, Mike Williams at full strength, at least, probably. So that's another thing. Everything seems to point to the Jags. They're hotter right now. The Chargers just lost to the Broncos last week, which I know isn't everything.
What's deal with the Jags not giving Travis Etienne more touches? Is he still banged up? Because why is he not out there getting more touches? Why is he splitting with Hasty?
Hasty, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just that they're trying to not make him like one of these lead backs that gets 25 carries a game and gets injured in a year or two, and they can
just think he won't last.
Not to mention
long.
He already got injured. He's his first season. So that might be it. I don't know.
He's just so much more talented, though.
I did. I don't think he was projected a great game last week, and he's projected a better one. So we'll see how it looks.
Well, yeah, it's the Chargers. Yeah. I mean, you should.
Yeah.
Well, do you think Jacksonville will be able to run the ball in this game? Because if they can, the game's over. Because then play action will just kill them. Mm-hmm. Because Jacksonville has those great, not great. Jacksonville has really good receivers. That's like it's like they have like 4 Juju Smith-Schusters,
that's
right?
A good point. Yeah.
Like they don't have that elite guy, but it's like they've got both Jones, and then you bring in Christian Kirk, and you bring in Ingram. It's like, you know, he's been having a fantastic
year. Been looking great.
In ETN, it's like they just have these solid, solid weapons around. And their offensive line has played together the whole season, which is rare in the NFL. So, you know, they've been pretty healthy. So,
also worth mentioning, this is the game the winner will play the Chiefs.
Most likely.
Most likely, yeah.
Unless one of these other games, which we don't expect to happen.
Yeah, but in all likelihood, and you said that you probably would rather play the Jaguars.
I would, just because playing the Chargers 3 times in the same year and beating them 3 times, and we always struggle with the Chargers. It's always a knife fight with them. I would feel a lot more comfortable playing Jacksonville, a lot more comfortable playing Jacksonville. So I'm really – plus I used to live in Jacksonville. So my 2 cats are from Jacksonville, you know? There you go.
Are they Jaguars?
They are. They're Jaguar fans. They love them. They're talking about painting themselves teal in honor of the game this Saturday night. So right. Shout out to Casey and Tippy. They're going for the Jags. I think it's the Jags here. You like 2.5 for the money line.
Check out Davo's new cat podcast.
Coming out soon. Do you like the 2.5 for the money line?
Yeah, I'm going to take the 2.5. I think it's probably a close one. I could see someone winning on like a last second, you know, going for 2, something like that.
Don't hate if you want to make it a same game parlay, something, you know, buy it up to 3.5. If you want to, you know, get the alternate line plus 3.5 and go I don't know. Depending on the number, I haven't looked at the numbers yet.
Yes, I wouldn't know what the number is.
Lawrence over on passing would be one. Eckler receptions could be a good one if it's under 6.5, because I think this is a game where they're going to be trailing, and it should be a game where he gets more touches. You know, I think now that they're in a must-win, they're pretty much going to take the training wheels off of, you know, mixing in the other guys, Joshua Kelly mainly. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay. On to the next one, we've got the Sunday noon game. The Buffalo Bills -13.5. I think that's that big line you were talking about. Versus the Dolphins, looking like with Skylar Thompson, over under 43.5.
Well, first of all, there's literally no possible way Buffalo loses this game if Skylar Thompson is a starting quarterback. I mean, it's...
Yeah, the Bills are -720 on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, it's, yeah. If you want to combine this with, I was looking at building a money line parlay. We'll talk about that later, because let's get to the other games first. But I don't even see how the Dolphins can keep this within 7. So I think a teaser is fantastic for Buffalo on this game as well. We saw Skylar Thompson against the Jets not even be able to score a touchdown. And then you've got Tyreek Hill flapping. I don't care who's throwing. Bro, you didn't even score a touchdown last
Jets
week.
The Jets are one of the best secondaries. They've got
the lockdown
corners.
They didn't even score a touchdown against them.
Yeah, but I think that their like pass defense, at least, is probably a little bit better than the Bills, you could argue.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it is. With Sauce Gardner. Yeah, I mean, it's good. But, I mean, the Bills do have White back now, who's not the Tre'Davious White we've seen in the past, but he's still improving. He's getting a little bit better week by week, I think, from the injury. The Bills are mostly, the Bills playing at home. I think this is, Skylar Thompson did a nice job of not creating short fields and turning it over last week, which is the only reason they won. He was basically a glorified game manager, and he let the defense win it for him, and some questionable penalties like the horse collar they called that wasn't a horse collar that led to a field goal. But I just think there's some turnovers coming this week. I think he tries to make plays. He's going to have to try to make plays because they're going to be behind in this game. Buffalo is going to score points. This is not the Brian Flores Dolphins defense that we've seen in years past. And you see Brian Flores is interviewing for a defensive coordinator job, by the way.
No, which one?
Who was it with? I don't know, but I just saw it yesterday. He's interviewing with somebody for a DC job, currently linebackers coach for the Steelers at the moment. Yeah. But I think the Bills are just going to shred the Dolphins here offensively. I think it's a massive game for Josh Allen. And the full slate DFS. Let me ask you this question: DFS full slate. Who do you like? Because Josh Allen's way more expensive. Maybe you don't play him because the game flow. I mean, I still think he'll put up a massive numbers, but they're not going to have to throw it in the fourth quarter in this game. Mm-hmm. And you look at like Burrow later on against.
So you're just talking about the three Sunday games?
No, I'm talking about the whole weekend.
Oh, okay.
On the six game slate, like who would you go with quarterback? Would you go Lawrence or? Well, first of all, would you go Lawrence or Herbert?
Yeah, I think one of those.
I think
two
Herbert
is probably
actually.
The answer.
I think the Jags win, but I think Herbert throws the ball more.
No, yeah, I think the Jaguars set up a better run game in that one. So, yeah, I'll probably take Herbert there.
Who would you go between Allen or Burrow for DFS? Burrow? Because it's maybe not, though. I don't know if it's going to be more competitive or not. Neither game is supposed to be that competitive, and Allen's got the rushing.
Yeah, no, I'll probably take Josh Allen.
Okay, so then would you pay up for Josh Allen, or would you go much cheaper for Herbert and go pay up elsewhere?
Yeah, probably Herbert. Just
that's what I'm thinking, too, is use the salary
somewhere
else.
What if they blow him out so bad they even take him out or something? Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, by the end of the third quarter,
trying to get value, you could maybe take Danny Dimes.
You could. The rushing upside. We'll get to that game. That's a fun game, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this game. I just think Buffalo shreds them. I don't see any way the Dolphins are able to stop them. I think they do whatever the hell they want in this game. And then I think you're going to see Thompson having to try to make plays where he didn't have to, and that's where the turnovers are going to come in. Another game where it wouldn't be a bad idea to take an anytime defensive touchdown. Between that and the 49ers, I feel like it's a decent shot you hit one of them.
Yeah.
If you want to put them both in. I mean, it's still less than 50-50. You can't predict the defensive touchdown very easily, but I think both are very possible. But yeah, I just think the Bills destroy them. I see this game. You said how many points was it again?
43.5.
I'll go over here because I think Buffalo scores 35 on their own.
Like, yeah, I can see that.
I think the Dolphins can get you 7 or 10 points. So I'll go over and I'll take the Bills. I'll take the 13.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on all that. The only thing that makes me nervous is if they get up so much early and they just kind of coast it out, maybe throw in their backups.
And that's the
like
other
that.
Problem with playing Josh Allen in DFS is if they get up early and then let's say the defense scores a touchdown or Like last week, they're not going to get two kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Yeah, that was insane.
Let's say there's a special team score, or you just get short fields where Josh Allen's not getting you the passing yards, you know, where he gets a few touchdowns, but he's not going to get you that bonus, the 300 bonus or mm-hmm. whatever. So, yeah. But, yeah, are you with me on that? That you're going on the – you say under, though?
No, I like the over.
You like the over and the Bills also?
Yeah. No, I'm with you on both. I just said it scares me a little bit because
– it scares you a little bit. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
But, okay, that's that one. The next is the 330 game. Vikings -3 at home against the Giants, over under 48.5.
So I'm going to be honest with you. When this week started, and when I first saw this line Sunday night or whenever it was, Monday morning, I was about to rush over and bet on the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Was it 3 then?
It was 3. Yeah, it was at 3. And I thought to myself, you know, the Giants are, this is one of those things where they're probably just happy to be there. They've taken a huge step forward. Usually a team like that's not going to then take another step forward because they're kind of already – I mean, they already went, you know, 2 wins higher regular season than they were supposed to win. Yeah, they exceeded it there. They could have probably got – they didn't try to get a third win because they didn't play anybody last week. But the point is they've already exceeded – they've already had a good season no matter what. If they lose this game by 30, their fans are still going to be overall happy with the season, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, you know, and the Vikings are playing at home and they've got better weapons – but then I started thinking about the Vikings and just how fraudulent they are. How they should probably, or maybe not, well, okay, maybe probably is the wrong word. How they could easily be a 7-win team right now. And that's not an exaggeration. If you go back and look at some of their games and what happened, if you look at their, you know, their margin of scoring and in different, you know, different DVOAs. Yeah,
the
comebacks
they made at the end.
Yeah. So... ooh. I just think their defense is so bad that I actually think the Giants have a 45% chance at winning this game outright. So I'm going to take the Giants +3. I think Daniel Jones is going to be a problem for them for that defense because of what he can do with his legs. I think Saquon Barkley and the spin move is going to be on full display. And I just think the Giants have a better defense is the main reason. Yes, Justin Jefferson is just an absolute monster out there. You know, fantastic player. And yes, Hawkinson, the middle of the field, you know, you can't really take away both, right? You're kind of trying to scheme away one because you're not going to be able to. But if the Giants can hold up against Dalvin Cook and Madison, if they can just neutralize the run in this game, I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to be able to beat them. I just don't. I think if they neutralize the run, that's the key to this game. The key to the game will be stopping the Vikings' run because they're going to have to play that straight up. They can't stack it or anything. They can't scheme towards stopping the run on this game. If they can do that, which I think they can, I just don't know that Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson can beat them on their own because I'm not confident in the speed of the Vikings, especially at linebacker. They're slow. They have a decent pass rush, but they've got, you know, they're leaky at the back. I don't love the receivers that the Giants are rolling out there, but they've had them all year, or you know, and they've been fine. Mm. And I think Daniel Jones is maybe a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Is he right there with Trevor Lawrence? I think he is in that
tier. I think so. Yeah.
Who's better, him or Cousins? Because think about the weapons that Danny Dimes has. He has nothing.
I mean, without weapons, you got to probably give it to Danny Dimes.
That's what I think. I think he's a better quarterback.
I think that,
and I'm getting 3 points here.
Yeah, I think Justin Jefferson has an absolute insane game though. This because like what was it 2 weeks ago they played the Jets and he got locked down, and then they played the Bears and he hardly played.
Yeah,
and so like I think it's time. I think that's going to happen. I don't know. I'll it's kind of chalky, but I'll take the Vikings.
Okay, you're going Vikings. All right, so we're different on this one. And what's the over under?
48.5, which I think is the highest of the week. Yes,
40. I'm going to go under in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking the under too.
I think it's going to be one of those old-fashioned NFC grinded out games. I think the Giants cannot get into a track meet in this game. If it does turn into a, you know, a high scoring game, I don't think the Giants are able to do that. I agree, the way they're going to win this game is by kind of mucking it up, slowing it down, establishing the run with Saquon, you know, getting Danny Dimes out, roll him out, get him out of the pocket to make plays, use his legs.
Right.
I still think it's like a 55% chance the Vikings win the game. Mm. But the fact that I feel like it's almost a 50-50 game and I'm getting 3 makes me feel like that's
the
value there.
Go with the Giants, I'm with you for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if this was like a 1.5, I'm taking the Vikings. If this is a 2.5, I might be taking the Vikings. But at 3,
might
that just that's
3.5. So,
you think it's gonna go to 3.5?
The juice is on the Vikings side.
Good.
So there you go. You should wait then.
Yeah, if I can get the, I'll take him at 3. I'll really like it at 3.5.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about teasing the Giants up in this game?
I don't hate that. That's what I was thinking too.
Like getting him up to 10, let's say. Let's say it goes to 3.5 and you do the 6.5.
Because, yeah, I do think that their defense is too bad to just blow the Giants out, really.
Yeah.
So if you get them at like plus 10.
Yeah, but the Giants should be able to put up, I mean, what do you think they put up? Worst case, 14 or 17?
Yeah, I think so.
So if you get them at 10, I mean, I don't know. I don't. Yeah, and again, like we talked about earlier, these are the kind of games, too, in the playoffs where teams don't start. They don't play for stats. Like when they get a 10-point lead with 6 minutes left, they're not out there throwing the ball very much. It's going to be getting out of here with the win. We're not
worried.
Some
of the stats like suspend at the end of the regular season anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But my point is, yeah, you see teams playing it more straight up and things seem to play out more how they're supposed to in the NFL playoffs for the various reasons. And so, yeah, there's less slapdick teams for one thing. And guys are playing hurt. You're going to get your best players pretty much playing if they can walk. Yeah. And teams are trying to just advance no matter what. They're not trying to get guys hurt no matter what. They're not trying to go for numbers because there are no stats at that point, like you said. They're not trying to break records or get contract bonuses and stuff. So I do think things play more straight up. And in general, I feel like this is going to be a week where maybe there's a little less scoring than we're used to. Mm-hmm. With some of these offenses, just because they're playing better defenses and they're playing in win and go home type games. So, yep. But yeah, so we agree on that, except that you were different teams.
Yeah, but agree on the over under. The next one is the Sunday night game, Bengals minus 10 at home versus the Ravens. I'm trying currently not having the best internet.
Is that at the 10 now?
It's up to 10.
Wow, I opened at 6.5.
Yeah, but I guess is probably why is Tyler Huntley not playing for sure, and it's going to be Anthony Brown again.
I thought he was supposed to try to play though. They were going to give it a go.
Anyway,
here.
Anthony Brown threw two interceptions, turnover, fumble.
He's
last
so
week.
Bad.
It was rough.
Where are these guys? Oh. Lamar Jackson, by the way, did you see a Shefty's tweet this morning where he was backhandedly kind of talking trash about
Lamar?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I did.
Let me see if I can find anything on Huntley here. He was basically just saying like he sprained his PCL 6.5 weeks ago and still hasn't come back.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like
obviously he's fine and he's just kind of holding out is what he's saying.
Yeah, Tyler, as of 30 seconds ago, actually, resumed throwing today, and Gus Edwards is back. Huh. I'm going to say Tyler Huntley is going to play in this game.
Okay.
And Gus Edwards is back, not that that really matters, because it's the Dobbins show now.
Yeah,
but,
right.
At 10, man, this one's tight, because yeah. I think Baltimore is obviously much better than the Dolphins, the current version of the Dolphins, at least. Mm-hmm. Much better than the Seahawks, the current version of the Seahawks. Like, this is 10 is a pretty big number here for this, and I just think we saw this matchup recently. I just think that if Huntley's in there, they're able to run the ball just enough and keep Burrow out the field just enough that they could cover a 10 in this game. So I'm going to take at 10. I'm going to take the Ravens if Huntley's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's out, then I'm all over the Bengals. But if he's going to give it a go, then I'm in on the Ravens plus 10. I don't think there's any way the Bengals lose this game, though.
Yeah, this is one where I like teasing the Bengals down a lot. But at the 10, yeah, under 10, I would probably take the Bengals. 10 and above, I'll take the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens defense, like we've been talking about, started off rough, got a lot better. They've got some injuries. Again, now they got healthy there for a while. I mean, Marcus Peters is iffy for this game with his calf. Limited practice again yesterday. And then, you know, they got a couple other players, Nick Morris and Brandon Stevens, that are recovering from illness. Not near as big of a deal as Marcus, just mentioning that, though, while I'm on the topic. But I think Peters probably tries to give it a go. He's not 100%. I think same thing with Huntley. I think this Ravens team can do just enough to keep this game close. Just because I think Coach Harbaugh is one of those great coaches, too. I think they play tough. Generally, they embody the way he is. I think it's a pretty good game for Andrews, actually, in DFS. I do like Andrews quite a bit. Who do you like best in this game, skill position-wise? Is it just Chase?
Yeah, maybe you're like Higgins. If you're
assuming he's
100%
good to go, he should be. We saw him get shaken up at the end of last week, but I'm sure he's going to play. It's the playoffs, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I guess there's just not much to say about this game. I just think the Ravens want to control the clock and the ball. They want to run the ball, short passes, and the Bengals just want to go out there and hit the big plays and F them up, if you would. So I absolutely love this game on a money line or if you want to tease it down. But I think at 10, I'm going to take the Ravens here. What's the over-under again?
Over-under is 40.5.
Over.
Over.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think the Ravens are going to be able to put up at least 17 in this game. If they put up 17 points, I don't see how the Bengals don't hit 24.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like the over a lot in this game, actually. This is my favorite over-under of the week.
Okay, yeah. It's a good one. And yeah, over-unders can be teased too if you're into that. So
sure can.
On to the Monday game, last one of the week. We've got Tampa Bay Buccaneers +2.5 against the Cowboys, over-under 45.5. That's at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So first of all, you're going under in this game. I don't see any way there's 45.5 points scored in this game. I know the Cowboys' defense has been iffy lately. Mm-hmm. We saw Gardner Minshew completely shred him. Yep. We saw the Commanders and Sam Howell. I don't know that they really shredded him. It was the Dak was turning the ball over and giving short fields. But we also saw Joey Sly, the kicker, miss a couple field goals and a couple extra points where they could have had another 7 to 10 points easily, the Commanders last week. So they have the Cowboys defense has not been the Cowboys defense that we knew in the early to mid parts of this season. I think that changes. I think they come back here. It's the playoffs. The lights are on. Literally, it's a Monday night game. Tom Brady's a statue back there. I think it could be a really, really, really... I think a pick six could be coming for Diggs in this game. The way he gambles out there and the pop gun that Brady has out there, I think they'll be able to pressure the quarterback. I just don't think Tampa's going to be able to score points on that side. So that's why I like the unders on that way. And then the other side, I absolutely love Dallas in this game.
Yeah.
I think this is a game where you just have to lean on Tony Pollard more so even than Zeke. I mean, Dak just – what's the deal with Dak? He just keeps turning it over left and right. You know, leading the league in interceptions despite missing, what, four games? Is that what it was, or five games?
Yeah, at least four.
I mean, it was I mean, he's been playing pathetic. But this just seems like – dumb it down, get the ball to Tony Pollard or the short passes, run the football, you know, get your big play to CeeDee Lamb, set up play action. Mm-hmm. And I just think Dallas gets out of here with a win. I think this is something like a 24-10 type of game. I think Dallas wins this game comfortably.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is one of my favorites of the week. It does feel a little trappy, which I think is the only hesitation we have. I mean, there is Tom and the Buccaneers, and he's in the playoffs, and this is probably, I don't know if it's last season, who knows.
Probably not.
Football forever, or whatever he said, but I mean, it's just going downhill. I think that,
last year at the Bucs, for sure.
Right, yeah. But where does he go next? Who wants Tom Brady?
He's
not going to go play backup somewhere.
He'll want to play in a weak division where he can win it, which is why...
Which he's already in the weakest one.
Well, I know, but he'll... I mean, could he go to the AFC South?
Maybe.
Could he go to Tennessee? You know, there's another place that's going to have a quarterback opening, with Tannehill. Like, the entire NFL is like, there's like 15 quarterback openings this offseason. It's going to be fascinating to watch this.
Yeah.
But so are you with the Cowboys on this one too?
Yeah, I'm with the Cowboys on this one a lot.
Are you on the under too?
Yeah, I like your rationale there.
I just don't think the Cowboys can or the Bucks can score. And I don't know, man. Like, unless Dak continues to turn the ball over left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this sounds stupid, but it really doesn't sound stupid. It's the NFL, and I probably should have mentioned this in the Bengals game, too. Look at the kickers. In these close spreads, a Justin Tucker gives you an extra 3 points. There's about 8 yards. You have an 8-yard bonus playing the Ravens, where if they're in that 8-yard range where everybody else punts or goes for it, you get 3 points. Mm-hmm. The opposite is true with the Bucks. Ryan Succop is struggling to make from 51 these days. So,
and Maher, at least fantasy-wise, was the number one kicker this year.
He's fine from 60 if they need him to be. So that's something to think about in these kind of games like that. You nailed my point there. It's the kicking game can mean a lot, especially in these 2.5. I mean, it's maybe not as much of a deal, although you know every point matters. But in a 10-point game, maybe Tucker is not as big of an advantage, especially because Evan McPherson on the other side for Cincy.
Right.
Other than that, Wimick, he missed 2 extra points. Other than that, he's been phenomenal. So, but yeah, it's another thing to think about here. You have a massive kicking edge with Dallas. So I just think all the signs point to Dallas, and I'll take the Cowboys here.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps up the wild card weekend.
What's your favorite? So your favorite quarterback, let's go through DFS real quick here. Your favorite quarterback, we're not talking salary. Well, let's give you a high dollar and a low dollar play. Mm-hmm. So is it Allen or Herbert for high dollar, low dollar?
I'm probably taking Herbert.
Who's your stud running back? McCaffrey?
Yeah, or I mean, you could go Eckler again just because of the PPR.
And more in that lower range, I mean, we gave you Elijah Mitchell, but I mean, besides that, give me another guy, another running back that you like here that's going to be
low range?
That's going to be a little bit lower.
Give me James Cook.
Okay.
He catches a few balls. He's getting more carries.
And that should be a good game script for that, too.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, I mean, you got to pay up for Justin Jefferson if you're paying up, right?
Yeah, if you're paying up, that's what you get.
Him over Chase, right?
Yeah.
Cheaper.
But assuming they're not, like, way far apart in price taking Justin Jefferson, probably.
Let me think of a good cheaper guy here. Let me go through this here real quick.
The thing is, there's three guys on the Bengals that could have a 20-point game.
Boyd could be a real good cheap option.
Boyd could be a value option.
Be a phenomenal value option.
Gabe Davis.
Yeah. That's another one. You know, he's a little priced. I mean, one of those Jacksonville receivers.
Chris Godwin's kind of middle. He catches a lot of balls. That's Monday, too. But we're talking
Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Kind of a mid-range play as well. And then tight end. It's Andrews, probably.
Or Evan Engram, if you can get
him. If you're paying up, or Evan Engram, yeah.
I'd rather, based on what we've seen lately, I'd rather have Engram.
Don't mind Dawson Knox, and definitely don't mind Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Because that could be the kind of guy, Dak, you know, safety blanket so he doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
As well. Who's your favorite defense this week? Is it Buffalo facing Skylar Thompson at home?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you got to go with
Bengals against Huntley.
It's the biggest line. It's a backup quarterback. Yeah, I'm probably taking the Bills defense.
Okay. That's what I think as well.
And I mean, they're a little bit better unit than the Bengals anyway. Just apples to apples, I think.
I don't think we're going to see too much. I do want to check one last thing before we get to the lock of the week right here and get out of here. Let me just double check real quick about the weather. I don't think we have any weather concerns this weekend. I checked yesterday and there weren't any, but I just want to double check real quick here before we get to that. There is a flood watch in San Francisco. A lot of rain to be expected.
Interesting.
So there could be a wet game there, but again, we talked about it earlier. That's fine for the Niners. They'll just run the ball.
Right.
That's the only game with any weather this weekend, though. There is a minor impact, it looks like. It looks like the rain is not supposed to be during the game so much. But otherwise, Jacksonville temps in the 40s. Winds around 10 miles an hour. That's fine. Buffalo, it's going to be 32 with no wind. Dome in Minnesota. Cincinnati, 40 degrees with 10 mile an hour winds. No big deal there. And 65 degrees in Tampa and sunny. So there's literally the only game with any slight concerns would be maybe a little bit of rain during the Niners and Eagles game. All right, you ready to get to the lock of the week and make the people some money?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's make you some money on FanDuel with Dave O's lock of the week.
Welcome to Wild Card Weekend 2023. Oh my gosh, it's going to be a lucrative weekend for us with FanDuel Sportsbook. My name is Dave O. I have a lock of the week coming up here in 30 seconds. Killian White on the camera. Follow us, smash that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast, the KC Press Box with me, Dave O, and Killian White. 42 wins. 21 losses in our lock of the week. That's 66.7%. No BS. It's all documented. And I'll tell you what, this wild card weekend, it's a freaking layup. Like, I couldn't believe this. I'm like, wait a minute. Let me do a double check here with my eyes. Am I reading this line right? -2.5. Give me this right here. Give me this. I'm as city as they come, baby. But we are all Cowboys this week. I don't even, is this thing on right, Killian?
It looks great.
It's a Stetson, baby. Where's my whip? Where's my canteen? Where's my pistol? Zeke is going to do some eating, and so are our bank accounts. Are you kidding me? -2.5 for Dallas. It's so straightforward. It's ridiculous. Free money. Pound the Cowboys. Your lock of the week. Let's go, yeehaw!
For everyone who's not watching the TikTok, Devo donned a cowboy hat there that
That's
we got
right.
from the studio. Shout out our country sister stations.
Where's the whip at, dude? I thought I was going to get a whip. Do we have a horse up here I can ride home tonight?
Next time someone's promoting an album, maybe we'll get one.
Yeah, they didn't send us a horse. I'll ride it home, man.
Lil Nas X, get on him to send us a horse.
All right, so who is your lock of the week then? Because I always ask you what your favorite bet is, you know, besides the lock of the week. Or is that your lock of the week?
I like that one a lot. The other one I really like is the Jags +2.5.
Really?
Yeah, I like the Jags quite a bit.
Okay, that makes me feel even better about it because I'm on the Jags as well. And real quick, I do want to let you know.
Good week for teasers, too.
What's that?
Good week for teasers with some of these big lines.
I was going to say either a three-team, like, seven-point type teaser or real quick here on FanDuel Sportsbook before we get out of here, let me just see what a safe money line parlay would be. There'll be some good odds boost this weekend, too, by the way, for the super wild card weekend. Okay, so if you take the Niners -500, okay? And then let's take the Bills -720. Let's go the Bengals. That's -154. That's still too high. So yeah, maybe the tease is the play, Killian, because the tease with that gets down. You do it, you know, get the Bengals down to 3 or 4, get the Bills down under a touchdown, get the Niners down. I don't know about do you. I generally don't like putting a team like the Cowboys or the Chargers on one of those moneyline parlays.
Yeah,
just because I think I'd rather just bet those individually and not attach them to other games in case we're wrong on the straight bet there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the juice is fine on its own. So,
but yeah, so this may be more than a Moneyline parlay. It might be a teaser weekend, actually, with those three games. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm with you. Don't
you
tease.
Could tease the Giants up, maybe.
Don't tease. If you like the Cowboys or the Chargers, probably don't tease them because you're only going to get them to like plus three.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they lose, there's a good chance they lose by three.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could take Jacksonville up, too.
Yeah. No, that's one that's, a little bit better for that.
I don't hate taking Jacksonville or the Giants up as well. Probably wouldn't tease the other direction, though, in those games.
Yeah.
There's not much of an edge if you're taking a 3-point favorite, taking them to plus three. Generally, it's probably better to just take them on the straight if you're going to do that. So your other one's the Jags, then?
Yeah, I'll take that as my other favorite.
So you're on there. We're split on this this Vikings game. Are you going to I'm assuming you're going to bet in the Vikings? So I'm probably going to bet in the Giants.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. And then
we talked about that's a good one to tease the Vikings too. Or not the Vikings, the Giants, yeah.
Yeah.
Up.
All right, well, next week we'll have what, another four games next week?
Yeah, four next week, and we'll be getting to you soon with a little bit of recap on our fantasy previews at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, we're going to circle back and take a look at that, circle back to our, maybe we'll do that the week between the Super Bowl when there's nothing going on that week. We'll go back and kind of look at what we predicted before the season and see how we did. With divisions and all that sorts of stuff. Didn't we do Rookie of the Year and stuff? I can't remember. I think we did.
Yeah, we did some season awards.
Yeah, so we'll go back and take a look at that as well. But in the meantime, again, appreciate you smashing that like button, telling a friend about it. Anything you want to say?
No, I think we're out.
Powered by FanDuel, it's the KC Press Box with Dave O and Killian White.